Eine kleine Nachtmusik by Mozart. Christoph von Dohnányi led the Cleveland Orchestra.
This is WHFR Dearborn, and you're listening to WHFR out of Henry Ford Community College. We thank you for choosing WHFR as your classical connection. If you would like to learn more about what's happening in and around WHFR, programming changes, where we might be doing appearances, and so on and so forth, then we'd love you to be a part of our WHFR Loyal Listener mailing list. It is a free opportunity for you to receive right to your doorstep, the WHFR Loyal Listener. It is our bi-monthly newsletter that shares all of the latest happenings of WHFR, both out and about in town or programming changes, music reviews, and so much more. And best of all, it's free. Simply give us a call, 313-845-9842. Leave your name, full address, and phone number, and I will put you on the WHFR mailing list just like that.
You're listening to WHFR Dearborn, non-commercial radio from Henry Ford Community College.
The following program has been pre-recorded. The views expressed by the participants are not necessarily those of WHFR Radio or Henry Ford Community College. Welcome to We Are Not Alone, where local investigators as well as world-renowned scientists and ufologists share their latest evidence in support of the UFO reality. David Twitchell, and you're listening to WHFR Dearborn. And for the next hour, we will be exploring the mysteries of the UFO and abduction phenomena. And our guest today is Dr. Melvin Redfern. Dr. Redfern is a former assistant state director of MUFON, the Mutual UFO Network for Tennessee. He's a retired psychotherapist, whose main interest is in UFO phenomenon is the psychological and spiritual aspect of otherworldly encounters. Dr. Redfern is the author of Assessment and Treatment of UFO Witnesses and Experiences and Spiritual Light, How to Heal the Body and Emotions. As a hypnotherapist, he has not only worked with people who claim to have been abducted by aliens, but he, too, is an alien experiencer. And welcome to the show, Dr. Redfern.
Thank you.
How are you today?
I'm just fine.
Well, very good. Now, you were a retired psychotherapist, is that correct?
Yes.
And in working, where did you practice, may I ask?
I'm from Massachusetts, and most of my work was in hospitals and mental health clinics in the greater Boston area.
Mm-hmm. And during that tenure, you have worked with alleged abductees, is that correct?
Yes.
And explain some of the process you go through when not only with abductees, but with the average person. When it comes to hypnosis, how was that accomplished?
Well, hypnosis is basically similar to daydreaming and focusing on some inner reality.
Mm-hmm.
It's common for people to have spontaneous hypnagogic states, like you're driving down the road and all of a sudden you forget where you've been for the last hour, and you get to your destination, and you're not sure what happened in between.
Mm-hmm. Now, are we referring to what is called missing time?
I was just talking about a phenomenon with missing time that's common to anybody that's experienced some spontaneous hypnosis. Spontaneous meaning it's not a formal induction with a hypnotherapist or a counselor of some type using that technique.
Okay, now, if someone comes to you and claims to have this missing time, that doesn't necessarily mean that they've been abducted. Is that what you're saying? But this happens normally sometimes with people?
I think it happens to everybody. And then if a person has a presenting problem of what they think might be an encounter with UFOs or other entities. In other words, if I initiate that, it ruins the whole thing because I've actually put some memories in a person that may not even be there. So.
Right, right.
So, but if they come to me with a concern that they think they've had an experience and would like to have regressive hypnosis to go back to the event and see if they can remember something else.
So how often did you find that, let's say somebody has an episode of missing time, they're driving along, and then they find themselves 20 miles down the road, let's say, just for example, and they come to you and you explore this through hypnosis, how many times do you find that there is not a anything otherworldly involved? It's just, you know, they were daydreaming.
To tell you the truth, I've never had anybody come to me with that presenting problem.
Is that right?
Of missing time.
Okay. But you have hypnotized people, and they have they claimed to be abductees, or did this just come out in their hypnosis session? Or tell us a little bit about that.
Actually, most of the contacts I've had with individuals were through UFO organizations and referrals of other people, mainly because this is verboten in mental health treatment.
Mm-hmm.
You're not even allowed to do hypnosis in most places. Once I called a business agent of an insurance company and said that I was doing hypnotherapy to help somebody with stress control or quitting smoking or something, and they said, oh, we don't pay for hypnosis. And and I tried to explain that Milton Erickson, a deceased medical doctor 50 years ago, brought hypnosis into the medical field, and they said, who's he? And I just threw my hands up. In other words, you have to have special liability insurance for hypnotherapy, and basically most places are very uncomfortable with therapists in a traditional mental health center to use hypnosis. And if you ever did anything with alien abductions or whatever, you'd probably be fired.
So if you claim to the insurance company, we're working with this individual because they claim to have been abducted by aliens, then
I'd be looking for a job.
Yeah, I'd be looking for a job.
So anything I've done has been basically with other types of referrals. And if I had a private hypnotherapy clinic, I could basically do what I wanted. But even then, it's interesting how I get more referrals by not even using traditional referral mechanisms.
Right.
In other words, I feel like there's a kind of a spiritual thing where I'm led to people and they're led to me. And
Do you charge for your services when you hypnotize someone who is claiming to be have been abducted?
No.
No, okay. Well, this is post-retirement.
But even then, I was most often doing things gratis.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well,
which gets into another issue of lots of people need some help that can't get it because there's nobody in traditional mental health centers that would touch that issue. And I just am familiar with a lot of people in Northeast Tennessee that are not wealthy, and I'm not about to charge people that are not indigent but not able to pay the traditional fees that I would get back north.
But there are a lot of people who claim to have been abducted either in their bed or on the road, where their whole car has been lifted up into a circular craft or a cigar-shaped craft. And the ones who claim this, the ones that come forward with it, I think you would agree, are is a very small percentage of the ones who this actually happened to. Would you say so?
I don't want to speak beyond my experience, and also I don't want to talk about other people's experience where they might somehow rather get information that I've talked about them on the radio. In other words, there's a confidentiality.
Right. Well, I understand that. But the abduction experience has so many typical aspects to it. You know, I was driving down the road. All of a sudden, I find myself a circular vehicle above me, or I was in the bed, and the bright light comes into the room. I think a lot of these details would apply to virtually anyone that has that claims to have had an abduction experience, wouldn't you say?
Those are common.
Very common.
Waking up and having leaves on your feet and in the bed, and you're not a sleepwalker and all that. It's
I was going to say how much of that could be attributed to sleepwalking.
It's a subjective thing with people telling you about these experiences, and so I don't know.
Well, late Dr. John Mack of Harvard University had tried to get this. He worked with them, worked with alien abductees also, and he tried to get this into the public's mind. You tried to see Dr. Mack. Can you tell us about that experience?
Well, I was living in the Boston area, and he was having a clinic at Cambridge Hospital with people that have had paranormal experiences. And I thought, gee, this would be terrific. I'll just go over there and have a cup of coffee with some alleged abductees and meet Dr. Mack, perhaps. And I couldn't believe what they said to me. It was, you're welcome to come here, but you have to sign up as a patient. And I thought, you're kidding me. And they wanted to have me do a lot of psychological tests. And I said, I'm a psychologist. I've administered all the tests that you want to give me. This is crazy. I mean, I just wanted to talk informally to people. And they said, you can't do that. You can come to a group therapy, but you have to be a patient. And basically, they wanted to treat me like a person just off the street and rule out the fact that I was psychotic or whatever. And I never did meet Dr. Mack, and he was never in town during that period. And I was so frustrated I never pursued it. But I was thinking that's what he had to do, which was to go to bed with the traditional psychiatric form of treatment. Right. So you had to be identified as a patient, and that's why I would never see somebody if I were still working in a mental health clinic, because I'd have to have what we call a hard diagnosis, one that would assure getting billing. So, and that diagnosis might follow a person the rest of their lives, and it might pop up if they want a government job. And in other words, there's got to be another way to go about using traditional psychiatric treatment, but I'm not sure if I'll live to see it. There was an article that a mutual friend of ours, Karen Holloway, sent to me yesterday. It was about the Canadian National newspaper with Rebecca Hardcastle, who was one of the first people to teach UFO courses on the college level in Arizona, and she was, or is planning to present a paper on a psychiatric reclassification of UFO extraterrestrial experiences. However, she's presenting this to an organization called the American Philosophical Association, which is not the American Psychiatric Association. It's not the American Medical Association, and it might be interesting to people in that association that I just mentioned, but it really has nothing to do with speaking to the people that can change policy with taking UFO experiences out of the pathology realm, right, which means they're sick, and they basically don't believe in it. And
well, one shall we say, sickness you know, something that is common amongst abductees, one of their symptoms, shall I say, not sickness, but symptoms, is that they seem to suffer from traumatic stress syndrome. Is that correct?
It certainly is a trauma for many people.
Right,
and,
right. Well, that's
and the only problem is a lot of this can be handled very well with peer therapy. I don't think most people suffering trauma always have to have professional help.
Right.
However, where do they go?
That's right.
So unless you're having a group that meets in an agency, I suppose you could do it in your home or whatever. But and I know people across the country that do this kind of work, and I'm sure they charge cash. It's hard to bill any insurance for any of this sort of thing. But
right, right. So if you can't, if a psychiatrist or psychologist cannot bill insurance company for this, and you have so many people, then the only other what would be other than group therapy, perhaps conducted by a psychiatrist or psychology?
I think you'd even have trouble getting them
yeah.
to associate with anything like that because it's so controversial.
Right.
I think the best place for them to go would be referrals through like MUFON or some other UFO organization that would know of people that have expertise in regressive hypnosis. And that's where I get most of my referrals.
Yeah, there were a couple of psychologists that were in Michigan MUFON, and the one, I don't even know if this one is practicing anymore. The other doesn't show up for meetings, but the other was just kind of curious. I had them both. I had a TV show on the cable network in this area, and I had both of them on my show at one point in time. And the one just hedged around the subject. I thought he was going to talk about, you know, hypnotizing subjects and what have you. He just hedged around the whole thing because he was afraid of what might happen to him in his professional community.
That's right.
And the other was pretty open about it and just pretty much said, you know, open your minds, have an open mind about this. There may be other possibilities out there. And then he called me and said, don't air that. I'm afraid I'll lose my, my backing, financial backing through Medicaid, Medicare.
He wouldn't even be able to bill for it unless he lied.
Right.
So you can fudge treatment plans and session notes, calling it something milder, not even mentioning it as paranormal.
Right. And meanwhile, just have the session as is, right?
Well, you'd have to, if you're going to treat people with alleged UFO witnessing of events and experiencers that have had alleged contact with ETs, you're never going to be able to pull it off unless you lie about the work you're doing, and that's the controversy. Even if there was a so-called friend of our organization of MUFON or something like that. Insurance companies just would not pay for it, and any association or hospital that they're working in would not approve of that. So I'm not saying I'm throwing in the towel, and I don't believe it will ever happen, but I don't think it will happen in my lifetime where it will be accepted, where you'll have a designated therapist that handles people with these kinds of experiences.
Right, but it certainly should happen, and happen just as soon as possible for the benefit of these victims of this type of thing. Even if it is psychological, there are so many people who claim this in detail. That in itself is a phenomenon, wouldn't you say?
I would say there's a large number of people that have these experiences, and like I said, the best thing I can think of where they could get any help would be through traditional UFO organizations that might refer people to therapists that could work with them.
Right. Okay, well, I'm going to have to take a break right now and remind our listeners that you're listening to WHFR.FM, a station making waves. I'm David Twitchell. You're listening to We Are Not Alone, and we're speaking with Dr. Melvin Redfern. So, please, don't go away.
Presenting comments you won't ever hear at your house.
Hey, Dad, you need a hand with that yard work?
You know, honey, the heck with the playoffs on TV. Let's go shoe shopping.
Never mind our anniversary, dear. Go out with your friends and have a good time tonight.
Almost as rare, it's unlikely you'll ever hear someone say, you know, it's time for an eye exam. That's because many vision problems have no early warning signs. In fact, one in three Americans over 40 has a vision problem, and they might not even know it. An eye exam can spot vision-threatening conditions like glaucoma before you can, and even spot serious health problems like diabetes and high blood pressure. So if you're over 40, remember, an eye doctor can see things you can't. For more on vision health, visit checkyearly.com. That's checkyearly.com. A public service message from the Vision Council of America and AARP.
French fries again? Pass the asparagus, please.
Do you find it difficult to find the time to work out? Does the price of a gym membership seem too expensive? Don't let these reasons get in the way of exercising. Try the Henry Ford Community College Fitness Center. The HFCC Fitness Center is conveniently located on campus in the Athletic Memorial Building. Drop in between classes or before you go home for the day. You'll save valuable time because you won't have to commute to a gym. And the best part is that use of the fitness center is free to HFCC students. Students should bring their student ID for access. Lockers are available for no charge, but you must provide your own lock. Come and work out at the HFCC Fitness Center.
Listen, was that you always on? If and when that's true, waiting stops within.
Like your jazz soft, hard, free, swinging, or maybe a combination of these? If so, the Play It By Ear show is sure to satisfy your taste, regardless of style. Tune in every Tuesday in drive time, 5 to 7 p.m. with me, Terrence Tyson, the Jazz Monster Slayer, only on WHFR.FM 89.3, the station making waves.
This is WHFR.FM, the station making waves, and it's 89.3 FM on your radio dial, and on your computer, WHFR.FM, and listen in for the best in alternative music. And I'm David Twitchell. You're listening to We Are Not Alone. And now I'd like to get back to our special guest today, Dr. Melvin Redfern. Welcome back, Dr. Redfern.
And, hi, David.
And your books, let me see, you have, these are e-books, is that correct?
Yes.
And they are available at experiencers.net. Now, you were talking about Karen Holloway, Karen and Paul Holloway. They are in England, but they're Michiganders originally, right?
Yes.
And they run the experiencers.net website where they sell e-books and yours. Tell us about this first one on the UFO and abduction phenomena. What do you give us a little teaser on that?
Well, actually, from what we've talked about, it has kind of a thread that's kind of negative. There are a lot of things that need to be improved, and the hopeful thing I wanted to emphasize was if anybody really wants to talk to other people that have had similar abduction experiences or have witnessed UFOs, you can find people that will talk with you through organizations that are like MUFON.
Right.
It's just that I was trying to explain why in traditional mental health you're not going to get anywhere. You might run into a mental health person that has some kindness toward you, but would never be able to treat you. And the sad thing is you might end up being diagnosed with some condition that requires medicine, and gee, by the time you get through 20 years of all this, it's you forget what you went there to get help for.
So this psychology community really doesn't understand. They don't believe, they don't want to believe, therefore they don't investigate, and they really don't understand what these abductees are going through.
That's true. They basically consider it all forms of delusion and pathology rather than...
Right.
Until a director of a hospital has had a close encounter, they're not going to really have much interest in it. But I don't really want to stay on that thread because it just draws on the negative side. What I wanted to do is talk about some things... the listeners might ask themselves, and which might help them identify themselves as people that might benefit from getting further information.
Right, such as?
We've already talked about missing time.
Right.
A lot of abductees have had that experience. Waking up with scoop marks on your body. That's been my experience. I had like a dermatologist's biopsy, maybe five scoop marks going from like 3 centimeters down gradually to 1 centimeter, and this would happen periodically. There'd be the same kinds of scoop marks on my wife, and that's not normal. Waking up with blood on the pillows and sheets, that's not normal.
No.
Have you ever noticed pets responding to something you couldn't see? And,
right.
I see my dogs following something. There's a program on the History Channel this Sunday about the genius of dogs, and you know they're so far superior to human beings with all of their abilities to hear and see. And,
right.
Ever seen things that appear to slip in or out of dimensions?
Yes, I know I have.
Afraid to tell anybody about any of these experiences because they might think you're crazy.
Right.
Have you ever experienced telepathy, communicating mentally with other people, animals, and entities? Have you ever had kinesthetic experiences, moving objects with your thoughts? Have you ever experienced precognition, the ability to know about an event or a state not yet experienced? Have you ever had a sense of calling or a mission to be a helper of some type? Have you ever been surprised at the number of UFO witnesses and experiencers that you're drawn to, which is something I alluded to earlier?
Hmm.
Have you had clairvoyance, the ability to discern objects not present to the senses or the ability to perceive matters beyond the range of ordinary perception? Ever had clairaudience, the ability to hear something not present to the ear, but regarded as having objective reality. Have you or your children, siblings, parents had similar UFO abduction experiences? It seems like, from what I've experienced, it goes back generations. I have a feeling certain people are targeted and followed through generations. Are you a sleepwalker? Have you ever awoken in unusual places? Did you ever wake up with dirt or leaves on your feet? Did you ever feel like you had an implant, a device to monitor you? These devices are reportedly placed in the nasal and sinus cavities behind the ears or other parts of the body. Have you ever influenced electrical devices just with your presence, having machines malfunction at a checkout counter, streetlights that flicker or have surges of electricity affecting other electrical devices? Have you ever felt drawn to science fiction stories or pictures of aliens that you sense a familiarity? Have you ever had traumatic experiences of painful medical experience performed during abductions? Do you believe that you've had hybrid fetuses harvested in abduction experiences? Have you had memories of sperm being taken from you during abduction experiences? Do you sense that you've had past lives on other planets or on Earth? Have you developed an interest in transpersonal healing or been able to send healing energy to persons, animals, or vegetation? Have you often wished to have regressive hypnosis to recall alien contacts? Have you ever felt possessed by an alien entity? Do you have experiences with alien entities that have been like an epiphany or a joyful, transforming experience? Have you had sleep paralysis, been unable to move, but you're wide awake? Well, what I wanted to do is take a few of
these are
symptoms
all,
or yeah, conditions
these are all the symptoms,
and elaborate on them with my personal experience. So
right.
I can speak with authority of what's happened to myself.
Well,
when I say speak with authority, what I mean is it's just my experience, and I don't have a plan for improving anybody. There was a quote that I wanted to give you by Rachel Naomi Remmer, a medical doctor, and she said, "Much of life can never be explained, but only witnessed."
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to share a few experiences that I've witnessed, and
yeah.
So the listeners can make up their own minds about whether I'm the real thing or delusional or
right.
whatever.
Well,
my first experience was, I think, when I was a child. I was brought up into some kind of craft. It was very huge. It was, and there were scores of these black-robed, black-hooded individuals with pasty white faces and those oval eyes that are slanted. And I don't remember if I was naked on a table when I was 6 years old or what. I just remember them not walking, but just kind of gliding around. I can't tell you anything more about it.
You remember this consciously, correct?
Pardon?
You remember this consciously, correct?
I had a person do regressive hypnosis with me, and it came out.
Oh, okay.
And then a few years ago, I was taking an investigative hypnosis course down at the Collin County Law Enforcement Academy, where they train Texas Rangers. And so it was a training to help victims of crime recall their assailants or whatever. I won't get into that, except to tell you that most of the people there were detectives, and there were maybe half a dozen of us that were psychologists. And And it was almost like doing work with combat veterans, because they all had post-traumatic stress syndrome relating to killing people.
Yeah.
So during the breaks and all that, we talked an awful lot about how painful those experiences were. One guy wanted me to meet with him in his motel, and we must have had 50 people in his little room, and he wanted it tape recorded, and he had killed a man 10 years before and still was having tremendous guilt about it. Mm. So I...
Was this war-related?
No, he was a police detective that killed somebody in his work.
Okay.
And because I was already a hypnotherapist, he wanted me to help him resolve that
issue.
So I did that, and when I went back to my motel, I was so elated because I had made a major impact of helping this person. Mm-hmm. And I was surprised at all of the people in my motel. About 200 construction workers had shown up, and they were all drunk and fighting, and I had to go up to the second floor of the motel to get to my room, which was at the end of the hallway, and I had to go through like a cordon of all these guys that were drunk and violent. And the strangest thing happened as I walked past them. I wasn't injured or touched, and it seemed like somebody had turned the volume down on a radio, and I was like walking through a silent movie. There was all of this yelling and screaming, and I thought, have I lost my hearing? And I don't have a hearing loss of that nature. And, so I got into my room, closed the door, got ready for bed, and just leaned up against the headboard to review the joy of helping this guy. And then all of a sudden, five basketball-sized white orbs appeared at the end of my bed, and they were jiggling up and down, and all I could think of was when I was a kid, we'd watch the bouncing ball with songs and at the movies, and I couldn't stop laughing. I mean, it was just such a joyous experience, and then as quickly as they appeared, they disappeared in an instant, and just as they disappeared, a red orb, the same size as the white ones, appeared. And I thought, what is going on here? And I wondered, gee, is this Satan? Is that you, Jesus? Mom, Dad, is it you? I went through questions, and the funny thing was the red light was going on and off. And then I put it together that when there was a negative answer, it blinked off. When there was a positive answer, it blinked on. And I must have spent a couple of hours having a dialogue with this light blinking on and off. And,
my goodness.
And then I went to sleep and went downstairs in the morning and had a breakfast with another psychologist going to the same conference. And he said, did you see those lights last night? And I thought, did I? And he said, there were helicopters everywhere. Police, they arrested 200 people just on your floor. And I didn't hear a thing. And I suspect that I was abducted during that experience.
Well.
Although some other people have other interpretations, but it just seemed like, what happened? Were these angels? Were they ETs? I really don't know. All I know is there was probably the most euphoria I've ever had in my life communicating with these things. And then I went back to Boston, and it was in the wintertime, and I had... bushes in front of my house, and there were like hundreds of these little green fireflies flying all through the bushes, and there's no such thing.
No.
And then I went up to the front door, and the red light appeared and disappeared instantly, which to me was like, yep, it really happened.
Wow,
and I haven't seen it since, and that was about 10 years ago.
I would like to explore more of these things that happened to you, but we're going to have to take a break, and we'll come back and share some more. I need to remind our listeners that you're listening to WHFR.FM, the only station making waves. I'm David Twitchell. This is We Are Not Alone. We're speaking with Dr. Melvin Redburn, and we will be right back. Don't go away, please.
Over there? Over there's the water. Whoosh, whoosh. And look at all this stuff I'm standing on. It's called sand, and it's everywhere.
This woman may sound silly to you and me.
It's made up of little tiny pieces of rocks. Teeny little pieces of rocks.
But to her 2-year-old son exploring the world around him, she makes perfect sense.
How does it feel when you touch the sand? Is it warm?
Uh-huh.
It's hard to hold in your hand, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Learning starts long before school does, and children are naturally curious. They want to learn, so follow their lead. Take simple, everyday moments, like sorting laundry or playing on the beach, and turn them into learning moments.
Is this water?
No.
Very good. This is sand. Oh, no, it's not food. It's sand. We don't eat sand.
Turn everyday moments into learning moments. Find out how at bornlearning.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Criminal justice studies are concerned with the preservation of peace, the prevention of crime, and the protection of life and property. A knowledge of the role of criminal justice in our society also serves to emphasize the importance of balancing the needs of society to maintain social order against the need to safeguard individual rights. For more information on the HFCC Associate Degree Program in Criminal Justice, contact the Criminal Justice Department at one of the following numbers: 313-845-6437, 313-845-9714, or 313-845-9859.
Radio fans, Imagination Works has been revamped. Are you familiar with radio drama? If not, become acquainted with old-time radio mysteries on WHFR Late Night Monday, 11 p.m. until midnight. Hear The Mysterious Traveler, The Inner Sanctum, Suspense, and much more. Hear classic radio drama on Monday nights, 11 p.m. until midnight, on the station Making Waves, 89.3.
This is WHFR, the station making waves. I'm David Twitchell, and we're back here on We Are Not Alone with Dr. Melvin Redfern. And you were telling us about these now, these lights, these balls of lights, orbs of lights, as you referred to them, in the hotel room?
Right.
And now to answer the skeptic, because I know the skeptic is out there listening to this saying, well, if there's helicopters out and about that night, could that have been the lights from the helicopters? How would you answer them?
I didn't see any lights. See, that's the weird thing. All I saw were these lights that were the size of basketballs, and you know, there was no activity that I was aware of when all of these people were arrested. One of the points I mentioned, things to consider if you might be an experiencer, would be, have you noticed that you've developed an ability to heal?
Mm-hmm.
And that was something that just exploded after I'd had that experience. I'd had bits and pieces of that sort of thing before, but this was just amazing.
You've been able to heal by what, placing your hands on someone?
It's various things. A lot of it just happened spontaneously with not even planning it. For example, in one hospital where I was a psychologist, I had a patient come to see me in my office, and he had rheumatoid arthritis in his hands, and they were just terribly deformed and red, and he was just in agony, and he said, I have to go back to my room. I can't really get anything out of a counseling session. And I said, well, if you have to leave, leave, but before you do, would you spend 1 minute with me and just look at the corner of that picture over there and notice how your eyes are starting to dry a little bit, and you might want to close your eyes and just relax as I count backwards from 10 to 1. And I just did a basic stress kind of experience with hypnosis, and And then I counted him up to 10 again and said he could awaken and feel wide aware and fully alert and feel terrific for the rest of the day. And then it was like the movie The Robe with the lepers being healed and his hands just unfolded. And they were totally normal within a minute. And he flexed his fingers and he started crying and he said, I haven't been able to do this in 20 years. And I wasn't even intending that to happen. So there's like inner wisdom, according to one friend of mine, that it could be. I don't know what to call it, except that there was something benevolent about it. And a few years later, another client had passed away, and I wasn't able to go to his funeral, and I'd seen the guy for many years. And so I called his mother, and she said, nobody told you? I mean, he died. And I said, would you mind coming to the cemetery where your son's buried, and I'll meet you there, and you can show me where his grave is, and I would just like to process what his life meant, and maybe grieve with you. And she said, yeah, she'd like that. And so we went there, and she was trying to dig a perimeter around the area where his remains were. He was cremated, and she had a trowel that was rusted, and she said, I can't really do this well because my hands have rheumatoid arthritis. And so she asked me to finish the job, and so I grabbed another trowel that she had that was rusted and broke that. And so I finally had like an arrow point, and I'm digging up this perimeter, and then we go back to her car to talk. And I told her the story I just told you about that other guy several years earlier. And I had no intention of her having a healing, but her hands opened up within a minute, and then she started crying and saying the same thing. I haven't done this in 20 years, flexing my hands. And
yeah.
So
goodness.
Vicarious healing, you pick it up on the sly. It's indirect healing.
Right.
But things like that were happening more often. One lady sought me out for counseling, and she had cancer and bilateral breast surgeries, and she didn't want to be known as a person with depression because she was a school nurse, and so she had to sneak in to see me. This was in a private clinic. It wasn't in my regular work. And so I talked to her about talking to her cells. Deepak Chopra had written a book called Quantum Healing, where he believes every cell in our body has intelligence, and we can talk to the cells. And so I asked her to talk to her cells and tell the cancer cells they really shouldn't be there. They'd almost killed her, and that they could leave. And then...
So this is kind of like self-hypnosis, correct?
You might call it that.
Yeah.
All these things in my mind now blend together, whether it's religion or UFOs or healing. I think it's all related. At any rate, she was scheduled to have a surgery with a cancer in her throat to be excised and one under her collarbone. And they were going to have to amputate her arm and remove the clavicle and cut out the cancer. And so I waited for her husband to get back to me after she went into surgery. And he said she came out of the surgery without her arm being amputated, and they had a 2-inch incision, and they found the tumor had become necrotic. It had died. It was all black. And then they started on the cancer in her throat, and another similar thing happened. The cancer had become necrotic. It was another 2-inch incision. And later, her surgeon said, how do you explain this? Like one cancer in 1,000 becomes necrotic for unknown reasons, and you've had two of them. And she said sheepishly, well, I talked to my cells. And he said, I don't care what you do, do more of it. And he asked her to be a mentor for other women with cancer at this hospital in Boston. And I said, why don't you get all these women together and bring them back to the clinic I was with, and we'll have a group. And it turned into a two-year project with children of these women and their spouses, and it was just incredible. We'd even go on visits to people that were too ill to come to the clinic and meet in their homes. And
In other words,
that was stimulated, I think, by contact with some other entity. I don't even know what to call it. But
well, now, how much of that do you think was your input or your close proximity to her, and how much of it is a self-hypnosis, do you think? Or is it a combination of both?
You know, things like this go way beyond hypnosis.
Right.
You know, it's that's why I say it's all interrelated,
right,
in my opinion. In other words, I think it's all tied in with the spirit. And
so do you think that your abductions or your connection with an alien entity, be it extraterrestrial or other dimensional, whatever it turns out to be, do you think that your connection with it has given you abilities to heal?
Something happened.
Yeah.
I'd had smaller things happen, but then it became a regular thing with I had a woman that was blind that I was able to see. You know, this is, I never saw anybody dead rise from the dead, so I won't go that far.
No.
I only walk on the water when I know where the
where the rocks
are.
Yeah. Okay.
But there's something very dramatic that was tied in with, in my opinion, that abduction experience.
Right. It certainly sounds it.
And it's not just me. I've read about many other people that have had similar experiences.
Yeah.
They all seem to have a kind of an epiphany experience. Love for the planet, and so I'm very much into that.
One thing that seems to be common amongst abductees is that they not only claim, but they can show you that they have an effect on a magnetic effect on electrical appliances. They can walk down the street, and the street lights will turn off as they pass and turn back on when they're gone. Do you find that this has happened with you?
It hasn't happened with me, but it happens with my wife.
Oh, does it?
We often go to the stores, and we just give up. You know, the checkout person just has her machine malfunction so badly we can't even get through it. And
is that right?
Sometimes can do it with no problem. But
Now, is it often enough to be more than just coincidence?
Oh, yes.
Because, you know, don't trust these machines to begin with. You know, but if it's
but with,
you know,
people
50%
that have had
of the time, it's
experience, it's more than coincidence.
Right. What about streetlights? Have had any effect? Has she had any effect on streetlights or appliances in the home?
No, it's just other things like electronic devices. But what I would urge any of the listeners to consider is if you could go beyond the novelty of healings and streetlights turning on and off and orbs showing up, I think it's just a way to get our attention that there's something bigger.
All right.
You know, it's like the story of the 10 lepers, and only one came back to say thanks. In other words, they were healed for a reason, and they missed the whole point.
Well, now, you say there's an interconnectedness, and I agree with you on that. However, the UFO phenomenon itself, do you feel that is, you know, there's a big debate. Is it extraterrestrial or other dimensional? Which one do you feel it is?
I personally go along with some interdimensional thing. I don't know how they would get here with all of the difficulties in traveling, unless they're wormholes or other dimensions.
But assuming that they use, you know, they bend space and time, and they're able to use wormholes that we know exist. You know, that's not a Star Trek-y thing. Star Trek got it from quantum physics. Those exist. But assuming that, Could it possibly be that it is a combination of both?
Well, this is another moment where if I say anything, I'll be speaking beyond my experience. And
well, personal opinion.
I think it's more interdimensional.
Interdimensional.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. May very well be. May very well be. But your experience is that these scoop marks that you mentioned.
When they first happened, I was incensed that how dare these entities operate on me without my permission. And, mm-hmm. and then I really didn't have any traumatic experience other than the unusual nature of what I've shared with you earlier.
Right. Right.
So I can't identify with people that have had lots of experiments done on them, but I believe they have. And
now, after you wake up with you and your wife, wake up with these scoop marks or anything else that you know, scars or whatever, looked like laser surgery or whatever. Do you have conscious recall, either you or your wife, of an abduction or something very strange going on?
No, I just wake up and I'm surprised there's blood on the mm-hmm. sheets. And
but you have had gone to a hypnotist yourself to dig out some of these hidden memories, is that it?
Yes.
And through that you find that you have been abducted?
That's the opinion of myself. I can't really say what the person thought that was doing the regressive right. hypnosis, but I was able to recall other things.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you don't feel that the therapist led you into thinking this, correct?
No.
Yeah, because it's like with Simon and the Betty and Barney Hill case. They say, oh, the hypnotist leads the witness. They led him. When in actuality, Simon, the psychiatrist that was conducting this hypnosis session, was actually a very hardened skeptic and was trying to lead them away from it, trying to say, are you sure it wasn't just a dream or this happened or that happened?
Mm.
And they wouldn't fall for it. So so the skeptics don't have a leg to stand on it when it comes to the hypnotist tries to lead them away from it.
My experience with MUFON wasn't necessarily negative, but I was basically turned off with all the documentation and the emphasis on trying to find the elusive trace evidence. And I'm much more interested in talking with people that have had experiences where they've gone from the bridge and stepped on the shore
right.
and have had some awareness. See, as I read off these symptoms, that's a medical term. I shouldn't say that, but signs of being a probable abductee. Most people I know that have had that experience move on to a spiritual level where they, like I said, have a love of the planet. They have a desire to help others, a sense of mission. And
right.
In other words, the scoop marks, the abductions pale into the reality of being a channel of healing and
right.
peace. And in other words, if people only want to deal with the novelty, I really don't have much interest in talking with them. But if they can use that as a catalyst where right. they have developed new
right. I think there's
awarenesses of a creator,
yeah.
or if not using religious parlance to at least have
now,
kindness, courtesy, justice, and love for people, you know. And,
now you can get a hold of Dr. Redfern's e-book by going to experiencers.net and look up Redfern, Dr. Melvin Redfern. And if they want to get a hold of you,
I'd be happy if you passed along my email.
Please.
It's Redfern, all lowercase letters, REDFERN, Arabic numeral 1. At localnet.com.
Very good. That's once again, that's Redfern. Say it again.
Redfern1 at localnet.com.
Localnet.com. Very good. And if you have any further you know, interest in this, you can go to experiencers.net and check out his e-books. And Dr. Redfern, I really appreciate you joining us today, and I hope we can do this again sometime.
All right, David, thank you.
Okay, thank you.
I appreciate
it. And if you have any questions or comments for me, you can email me at dtwitchell@hotmail.com. And you may also call the WHFR studio at area code 313-845-9676 or email at whfr@hfcc.edu. Please visit my website at ufoimplications.com. That's ufoimplications.com. And stay tuned to WHFR for the best in alternative music. And I want to thank you for joining us today. Please join us again the first Saturday of each month at 10 a.m. and repeated the next day at 5 p.m. when we will again explore the mysteries of the UFO phenomenon. And until next time...